If you were to dig into your pocket right now, what is the most important thing in your pocket? Wallet? You have your wallet with you? Of course you have. You don't drive without your driver's license, right? What else? Well, house key, or your car key, office key. With much advanced technology, keyless vehicles offer some sort of convenience and not worried about keys left inside your car. And these days, there are doors in your home that are keyless. Do you have keyless door entry right now? Well, not everyone has access to keyless doors yet. Now let me share a story of myself when I left my key. Many years ago, I went home very early in the morning. Yes, very early. At 2, maybe 2 in the morning. So that's very early, right? And the gate was closed. I forgot to bring with me my keys. The building, there is no doorbell. And my family were sleeping on the second floor. On the second floor. I tried throwing pebbles on the rooftop in the hope that someone may wake up and open the gate. But no one opened the gate. And I'm very embarrassed to make sound on the gate, or else the neighbors might be waking up. So what I did, there were pieces of cartons placed on the doorsteps, because when it's rainy days, the floor would be messy, so they put cartons. And pull the cartoons, cover myself, and sleep in front of the gate. That's in Baguio City. Have you been to Baguio City? Can you imagine how terrible it was to sleep on the ground on cold night? How many times have you misplaced your house keys? Misplacing your house key during winter in Canada is not a very funny moment. It's very terrible, actually. Forgetting important things, this exposes our human limits, our limitations. And misplacing trivial things, it practically exhibits our imperfection. And still, Christ requires us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect. Therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, think about that for a while. Be perfect. Be perfect. Be perfect. As your Heavenly Father is perfect, the Lord is saying that you cannot enter heaven if you are not perfect. And we know that godly requirements can only be accomplished with God's help, not by human strength. Our human faculties are limited, and yet Christ requires us to be perfect. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Why? Why would the Lord require us to be perfect when we are easily distracted and even forgetful of many things? Of course, the Lord knows that our human initiative, we cannot be perfect. We cannot be perfect on our own strength. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says, be perfect. This is a command, be perfect. Therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect, Christ requires perfection. It should help us realize that we are limited, that we cannot be perfect. And you will most often hear people, I'm not perfect. Nobody is saying that they are perfect. Nobody, no human is perfect. When we realize our imperfection, our limitation, it should help us to seek help of the Lord Jesus. And as inspired by His Holy Spirit, we seek His help as proof that we trust Christ as Lord of all, the Lord of all. Seeking help from Christ, this pragmatically exhibit active faith in Him. What do you think? To decide which practical step we would take, we would think about it. It processed in our brain, our mind. We'll think about it. What would I do? We think about it. We use our head. Similarly, Christ is the head of the church. And believers, we are part of the body of Christ, the church. And God determines, He determines the function of its part in our physical body. It's God who determines that the ears will be used for hearing, nose for smelling, mouth or tongue for tasting. He decides that. Similarly, the Lord determines our responsibility as part of the body of Christ, the church. Let's read again verse 28, 27 and 28 of our passage. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Now the scripture testifies that all believers are part of the body of Christ. All believers in the church, we are part of the body of Christ, the church. What if they do not want to be part of the body of Christ? If they do not want to be part of the body of Christ, they prefer not to be part of the church. If they do not want to be part of the church, they do not want to be part of the body of Christ. And God determined, He placed every part of the body of Christ, every part in the church. When a local church is established, was it not God who determined? Was it not God who placed every believer in the church? Of course, Christ Himself builds His church, and He declared in Matthew 18, 18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. When Christ said, on this rock I will build my church, the Lord Jesus saying, Christ build His church. What rock did He pertain to? What is this rock? Interestingly, the English term rock is Petra in Greek, which is particularly a huge rock or cliff or stony ground that cannot be moved. Remember that Petra cannot be moved by human strength. In comparison, the English name Peter was translated from Greek word Petros, which is an isolated stone or rock or boulder that can be moved by human strength. If human strength can move it, that is Petros. If rock cannot be moved, that is Petra. So when Christ told Peter, you are Peter, you are Petros, it was a translation to His message, on this Petra, on this rock, I will build my church. So the rock that He was pertaining to, it was not Petros, it was Petra. He just transitioned from Petros to Petra. Surely it's very logical to build on Petra, or solid stony ground as foundation, and you do not want to build your building on a Petros, a movable little stone, right? So He declared in Ephesians chapter 2, 19-22, God's people and also members of His household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Himself, Jesus, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become holy temple of the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We believers, we belong to the household of God, and God determined in place in the church, first of all, the apostles, and second, the prophets, and third, the teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then gifts of helping, then gifts of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. The term apostle was translated from Greek apostolos, which literally means messenger sent on a mission. Apostolos is messenger sent on a mission. In the modern day, missionaries is apostolos. Missionaries are sent on a mission to establish a church. And after a local church starts functioning regularly, missionaries will go to the next mission point to start another church. And that was exactly what Apostle Paul and his mission team had done. They planted churches wherever they went. They did not stay longer than 3 years. But Paul was not long-term pastor of any church. He was not the long-term pastor. He maybe had pastored for 3 years and then transferred to the next mission point. Now, next, prophets. The New Testament prophets, they would interpret the will of God, to foretell divine will of God. So modern day prophets are the modern day preachers, we call preachers, who have the gift of expositing divine truth. And God placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, miracle workers, gifts of healing, gifts of helping, of guidance, and different kind of tongues. Now, in 1 Corinthians, observe that pastor is not included in the list of spiritual gifts. Interestingly, pastors are included in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip His people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, why did Apostle Paul not include pastors in 1 Corinthians? Probably to avoid this connotation that pastors are special people in the church. And that was their problem in 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian church, because they were divided, thinking that their preferred pastor is the best. They do not prefer any other else, and everyone has their preferred leaders or pastors. Now, pastors should be teachers and take care of the spiritual feeding of the body of Christ. But have you discovered it? If you are gifted in expositing divine truth, you could be a preacher, pastor. There are many activities in the church, but the primary responsibility of pastors is to preach and provide spiritual food to the body of Christ, the family of believers. It's kind of like a breadwinner, if you would accept that. Like fathers, they would make sure that there is food on the table. And the Holy Spirit determined if being a pastor is the kind of service He wants us to excel. Not everyone would excel as pastors. There are pastors who are popular, but there are pastors who are just average. Each pastor should not think that they can be someone like the popular preachers in the television. No, because God has given everyone special gift. And He, the Holy Spirit, distributed different kind of spiritual gift that we could utilize to serve Him. where He wants us to excel. Remember that. Not mediocre. Excel. He wants us to excel in the ministry He determined or He placed us, He distributed to us. If you are not excelling in that ministry, then that ministry is not, maybe that is not the ministry that God wants you to be. Serving the Lord may appear to be taxing. Kind of like if you are serving a boss, a master, it's kind of like very demanding. But it is the only way. Serving the Lord is the only way we can explore life toward its fullness that Christ designed for us to experience in Him. If you want to be happy in Jesus, you trust, obey the Lord. Have you experienced that in your life? Do you sense fulfillment or gratification in your Christian life? Start praying and asking the Lord, how could I obey you? How can we practically identify the kind of service that the Lord determined for us to excel then? Try any church ministry, try any church activity that may attract your attention. Try it. But when you participate in a particular ministry, in a particular activity, without being told, without being pushed, you can sense that joy, you can sense that peace, because you do it on your own. Yeah, in other terms, it's kind of you have that willingness or volunteerism, if you would. So get ready, be a responsible part of the body of Christ, the church, and explore that you may experience that fullness of life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to believers. Christ said, "I have come that you may have life abundantly." Many people would claim that verse in John 10:10. But how? Obey Christ. Find that service ministry that the Lord wants you to explore, and you experience much of that joy and peace in Him. Be a responsible part of the body of Christ. There was this young man. They were sitting together. Maybe they were fishing. And suddenly the son said, "Dad, yeah, I'm ready to get married." "Okay, say sorry." The son was surprised. "Dad, why would I say sorry?" His dad said calmly, "Say sorry." Still, the son hesitated. "Why would I say sorry? I did nothing wrong." So his dad explained, "Did you not say you are ready to get married?" "Yes." "Then say sorry." All the more the son was confused. "Yeah, I said I'm ready to get married. So why would I say sorry? I don't understand." His dad replied, "Just say sorry." And the son obliged and said, "I'm sorry." Then his dad said, "Now I know that you are ready to get married. In marriage, you will be forced to say sorry even if you don't understand the reason why you should say sorry." "I get it," his son nodded. "Well, if you don't get it, you are not yet ready to get married. Young people, how do you know that you are ready for married life? How do you know? Listen carefully. In marriage, expect nobody to tell you to do household chores. Observe your parents. Nobody is telling them to wash your clothes. Nobody is telling them that they would cook for you. They just do it on their own. They initiate doing household chores. That's marriage. Now, if you practice doing household chores, young people, in your home without being told to do them, it prepares you to be responsible with your own family. All right? It is very tough, but at the start doing your chores without being told. If your parents told you once, twice, thrice, that should be enough, and you would do it on your own, and you know you were preparing for your own family. So how about being responsible part of the body of Christ? So how about being responsible part of the church without being told? Together, let's reflect seriously what it prescribes in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. For everyone, it says, meaning even non-religious people doing what is good is profitable, right? Surely it is good to discover. It's good to discover the spiritual gift of serving the Lord and ministries He prepared for us. And someone said that if we diligently practice what the Lord prescribes, if we diligently practice what the Lord instructed, if we diligently practice what the Lord commanded, observers may reflect on their confusion toward God. They would think, why would that person so diligent without being told? They might think about, maybe it is real that there is joy in the Lord. But of course, joy comes from the Holy Spirit. So before you initiate anything, ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit produce love, joy, peace, patience in me. Until you sense that joyful peace, don't force yourself, or else you will be frustrated or disappointed. The Holy Spirit distributed a spiritual gift. This is our instrument. This is our tool, our vehicle to explore life to its fullness and excel in the kind of service God prepared for us. The service that God wants us, we can only perform with the spiritual gift He gave us, distributed to us. Not on our own initiative, not on our own talent. Spiritual gift that the Lord distributed. Let's read again verse 29 and 30 from our passage. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now the Holy Spirit distributed gifts, spiritual gifts, in the body of Christ, the church, distributed it among us, to each of us. Each believer has a spiritual gift. Don't assume that you don't have, because if you believe you are a believer of Jesus Christ, God has already given you a spiritual gift, maybe one, two, three, or more. Some people have more, but no believer has no spiritual gift. Every believer has a spiritual gift. Have you proven that you have spiritual gift? Have you proven that? Now, God prepared ministry activities for us also. He assigned us to the service that He wants us to excel. It's not what we prefer. It's what God prefers for us, because He knows where we can excel. He determines the kind of services for us to excel as individual believers. Excellence in various ministries practically manifests the different kinds of transformation of Christ in its believers. When we participate, it means we have been transformed. If there's no transformation, you do not even pay attention to the sermon, right? You just do your own, right? Because there's no transformation. But pray for those who do not listen. If God had spoken to you, God can speak to them by his power. Only by the grace of the Lord that we will hear him very clearly. God is eternal. God is very creative. The different kinds of spiritual gifts, different kinds of services, the different kinds of workings among us realistically testify to the boundless, unlimited creativity of God. How do you imagine the boundless creativity of the Lord? Now, many people can think that heaven is boring. Why? Because the Bible is very silent about the wonderful, awesome heaven. But heaven should be heaven. If you know the meaning of heaven, it should be eternal, awesome, wonderful experience being there. It's not what we think. It's beyond imagination. Of course, we believe that God created everything in heaven and in earth. And yet we are very slow. We are very slow to realize that infinite creativity of God. We only understand the Lord in what we experience. Our understanding of God is restricted only to our personal experience. This is what I experience with God. Maybe this is only what God can do to me. But ask the Lord for increase of faith, because there is more than what you have experienced already for you to have that filled with thankfulness and praise in your heart. If you are to evaluate, if you are to check your relationship with Christ now, will you personally testify how much you are gratified in him? Can you say, Lord, I can thank you all the days of your life, of my life, until eternity. If not, then ask the Lord, Lord, fill me, bless me, that I may thank you now until eternity. Forever, I will be giving thanks to you and praise you. That would be a very wonderful experience, instead of being filled with complaining or grumbling or problems. You are just being thankful. Together, let's reflect on what is. If you are still seeking contentment, let's reflect on what Apostle Paul personally testified in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, this is more particular. I can do all this. In other translation, it says, I can do all things. But in this, this translation is more particular, pertaining to the circumstances of being well-fed or being hungry. And no doubt, it is easy to be satisfied when we are well-fed, right? If you have a lot, you have plenty, yeah, I'm satisfied. But will you still say, I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength, when you are hungry? Are you hungry? Hopefully, we will eat something later. You're hungry right now. You can wait for a few more minutes, right? Take note that Christ gave strength to be satisfied when well-fed or hungry. Have you personally explored it and proved it yourself? What is your practical proof that you can say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength? How can you prove that you are satisfied when you are well-fed or hungry? There was this infamous celebrity. He wasted all his money, and he said, if you have no money, people know you, many people know you. If you have no money, no one knows you, you are nothing, suddenly this a widow struggled to provide for her family and expressed her confusion. How can my family survive? Utilities piled up, electricity was cut off. How can I provide for my family? And friends advised her, hang on there, God will provide. Most of them, God allows difficulties for us to seek the help of the Lord. If you are in need, ask the Lord, Lord, help me. But we are slow to realize that His prescription leads to fullness of life. The prescription of God, if you want to have abundance of life, read and ask the Lord to apply His prescription, instruction, the commands of the Lord. Despite abundance, despite scarcity, it is possible to experience joy and peace from God. When we utilize our spiritual gift, get involved in services that the Lord prepared for us to excel. Again, if you are not excelling in an activity or in a ministry, if you are not excelling in that ministry, check or try other ministries where you can excel. If you are still forcing yourself in a ministry, then try another ministry that you would sense that joy, that peace. How many among us are bemused or confused when Apostle Paul rhetorically asks, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now, observe this. These rhetorical questions accentuated verse 28. But interestingly, the gift of helping and gift of guidance in verse 28, they are missing in verse 29 and 30. If verse 29 and 30 should help or highlight verse 28, why is that? Why is the gift of helping in it? Of guidance not asked in verses 29 and 30. Additionally, verse 30 asks the gift of interpretation. The gift of interpretation, though interpret, it was not mentioned in verse 28. Why is that? Do spiritual gifts of helping, spiritual gift of guidance have lesser value? And why was the gift of interpretation added later in verse 30 and not in verse 28? Well, verse 31 did not clearly explain, but it should ignite a desire for greater gifts. Let's read verse 31 of our passage. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So it means gift of apostleship, of prophet, teachers, miracle workers, healing, interpretation, speaking in tongues, they are great gifts, but there are greater gifts than those gifts. The spiritual gifts of helping and guidance, as well the spiritual gift of interpretation, may not necessarily be mentioned in the other biblical passages, but they are equally important as the other gifts. They are used in the body of Christ. So if you desire to understand the reason behind the inclusion, why is not included, why is it absent, those particular spiritual gifts, if you want to learn about that, we are advised to rather eagerly desire to acquire the greater gifts instead of those asking about those gifts, eagerly desire the greater gifts. What greater gifts will translate into eternity that we should eagerly desire for? In eternity, there will be no gifts of speaking in tongues. There will be no gift of prophecy. There will be no gift of apostleship or miracles, healing. There will be, those gifts will stop. but there will be greater gifts that would translate into eternity. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it declares, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Can you read that again? These three remains: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Those are the gifts that, greater gifts that we should eagerly desire. If we desire the gift of faith and hope, especially love, the Lord grant it all to us. If we ask this three, will you, Lord, grant the Mipolis Evangelical Church the gift of faith, hope, and love? Will he grant it if we pray for that, if we ask him? The Holy Spirit determines the kind of services he wants us to excel. He distributed different kind of gifts that we need, right? And the gifts of faith, hope, and love, they are available to all believers. The Lord wants us to have those gifts. And we are advised to eagerly desire them, desire it, and ask the Lord, Lord, let faith, love, hope come to me, prevail in me, help me experience more of those. The gift of faith, hope, we'll talk more about those in the succeeding sermons. For now, we learn about the different kinds of spiritual gift the Holy Spirit particularly distributed to each of us. And discover your spiritual gift, practice it until you grow stronger. When you grow stronger, how do you know that you grow stronger in your spiritual gift? You grow in your concern with the different parts of the body of Christ. You grow. You have more concern. Even if they are not listening, you want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you are not bothered anymore. Instead, you have that love, that care. You want them to learn about the Lord. People come here for a reason. It's by grace you are here. Even those who are not listening, the Lord brought them here for a reason. Pray for that the Lord reveal more of his love to everyone else. Personally, listen carefully to the prescription of Christ, our ultimate healer. Everyone had been in a situation where we need healing. But personally, are there any particular food that you religiously avoid at all costs? I don't need that food. Many people testified they lost weight after they limited their intake of rice or any source of carbohydrates. Carbohydrates-free food, that's what I want. They have that. Some people, they totally eliminated carbohydrates from their diet because they experienced that they lost weight. But be prayerful before believing anything you read and heard. Don't just do something drastically. Maybe people did that for many years before they come to the point of those what they are saying, not very clearly. But don't drastically trust anything you read, even you heard what you heard. Seek wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with wisdom. It declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18, it is good to grasp the one, not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. Avoid all extremes. Fear of God is obedience to him. Obedience to him is the most practical way of proving our faith in the Lord, fear of God. If you are very much concerned about your physical health, are you concerned? Of course, we are. But be more concerned of your spiritual health. You may die as the healthiest you will leave your corpse as the healthiest corpse on earth, but still you will leave that corpse. But in eternity, it is eternity. Make sure you know, you understand eternity. By faith, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We belong to the body of Christ, the church. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, if you believe that Jesus, the Lord, took out your sins and crucified them with Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross washed away your sins, and then by faith in the eyes of God, you are now perfect. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said, be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect, in the eyes of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, you are now perfect. Do you believe that? Do you strongly believe that? Do you have doubt? Then ask the Lord to increase your faith. We grow stronger and very sure that Christ takes us into heaven when we practice what he prescribes for Christian behavior without forcing ourselves. There's willingness, there's joy, there's peace, because the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to do what he prescribes. And Christ takes all believers into heaven when he returns. Be sure that you will not be left behind when Christ returns. Pray for increase of faith and inspiration of Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit inspires us. He guarantees that Christ takes us into heaven when he returns. And this is the reason every first Sunday of the month we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper for us to remember that Christ died for our sins. That the Lord took away all our sins and crucified them on the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross washed away all our sins. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we take the bread. The bread symbolizes the body of Christ crucified on the cross. When we take the bread, remember that the Lord took all your sins and crucified them on the cross. When you took the cup that symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross, remember that the Lord washed all our sins. And before God, we are now perfect by faith. No matter what other people would say, by faith, we are perfect before God. Amen.